Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing the show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. It's Monday. It's December 7th, 2020, the 79th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on the island of Oahu in the Hawaiian Islands. And I'll tell you, if you've ever stood there on that memorial for the Arizona, you will never forget it. It's a very moving experience, and I highly recommend, if you're ever over in Hawaii, taking that tour that the Navy provides. It's really a terrific experience. We're bringing folks together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services. They're now doing a lot of e-commerce. Check it out, their newly redesigned website. You can reach that by logging on to moesgallery.com. And if you'd like to drop by the gallery, we hope you do. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Our Monday political face-off team today: John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney and former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and one-time Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers, also well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. John, how was your weekend?
Great weekend, Bill. I hope you and Jeff had a good weekend.
We did. And Jeff, how was it?
It was a beautiful weekend. I was able to get both my horses out and some riding in, and it was a beautiful day.
Jeff, I want to talk a little bit, and John, jump in if you'd like to, about this. You were over at court today. One thing that hasn't gotten a lot of publicity, are we doing jury trials here in Pima County?
We haven't had a jury trial since early March.
What?
In the Pima County Superior Court. There have been a couple in the Tucson City Court. You don't have a lot of jury trials in the lower municipal courts, but you are entitled to a jury trial in a DUI case. And so there's been a couple that they've experimented with in City Court. There hasn't been any in Justice Court, and there have been none in this Pima County Superior Court, where most of the felony cases are tried. The same thing for the United States District Court. There haven't been any trials since March in Tucson. In addition to that, they've had trouble seating a grand jury. So, you know, you have the absolute right to be indicted by a grand jury in federal cases. There are other ways to charge you in state cases, but in federal cases, a grand jury has to indict you. And so they usually have 30 days to indict you after you're arrested, and the court is waiving those periods of time, and they're having a lot of trouble getting a grand jury seated in order to formally charge people.
John, so, the speedy trial thing is being thrown out the window. That's not right.
Yeah. What's happened in these criminal cases, and I'm not a criminal lawyer. I defer to Jeff on that. I'm a business lawyer, but Jeff informs both you and me that the Arizona Supreme Court has somehow waived away
someone's
right to a speedy trial, which is a constitutional right, and I just don't agree with that.
Well, I agree with John. It's under the rules of criminal procedure in Arizona, you have 150 days to be tried if you're in custody, 180 days if you're out of custody. And you can invoke that speedy trial right. But that's a right under the Arizona rules and the Arizona Constitution. But under our federal constitution, you have a speedy trial right. And there are a lot of factors to weigh in whether or not that speedy trial right has been violated. But the fact of the matter is that we're going to have a lot of people who are basically going to, once they are tried and convicted, they're going to say, you know, on appeal, my speedy trial rights were violated.
Right.
I want to see this case dismissed. And a lot of lawyers are upset about it. But on the other hand, you know, a lot of lawyers are not really, you know, anxious to get into a courtroom either because of the COVID virus. I mean, I had a legal assistant who foolishly went to visit her family in the Bay Area over Thanksgiving, came back and found out her sister had tested positive, and then she tested positive, and she's homesick and has been homesick for 7 days now. And she's not hospitalized, but, you know, this thing is, It's wicked. My brother was down for 12 days and lost 12 pounds. And he's a pretty good athlete. He was probably one of the best amateur tennis players around.
Wow.
And he's several years younger than me, but he was down 12 days.
Mm. Yeah. I think that this constitutional right of a speedy trial, people need to understand that these people who are charged with crimes are sitting in jail.
Right.
And they have a right to a constitutional right, both under the Arizona and federal constitution, they have a constitutional right to a speedy trial. And I just don't think that any court, even the Arizona Supreme Court, can waive that. Something needs to happen to either try these people or let them out so that they're, and I understand what I'm saying, these are some pretty bad criminals, but we've got to come to a solution that doesn't waive people's constitutional rights. The Constitution means something, and I know Jeff agrees with me that there's got to be a solution to this other than have some court run around and waive people's constitutional rights. That cannot happen.
Yeah, and as part of that package, they've waived several other things too. One of the things they've waived is you have a right to one peremptory strike of a judge. If you just say, I don't get along with that judge very well, or don't like him, or have had bad luck with him, you have the right to strike that judge, both in civil cases like John does and in criminal cases like I do. And they've taken away that right as well. And they've limited the number of peremptory challenges you get with a juror. You only get two per side now, and it used to be six. And so that's it was four in a lower court. So it's a really troubling time to be practicing.
But that
law.
At least isn't a constitutional right being waived.
Correct.
But can you imagine sitting in jail and you're past your time, way past your time right now?
Yeah. And you haven't even been tried.
You haven't been tried. You have no recourse.
No, that's just wrong. It's just wrong, and that's got to change. And I'm frankly very. Distraught's the right word about the courts doing that. There has to be a solution. And so I understand that a lot of people don't want to serve jury duty, and I understand that a lot of lawyers don't want to serve jury duty, but that's not the prisoner's problem.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get into our political face-off, but before I even bring up a subject, we'll take the break a minute or two early today. Mona's Danish Bakery, oh my goodness, they're doing such a beautiful job for the holidays. All the cookies, and of course, they're ready now with the pies.
And the Danish Kringles.
Oh my goodness, thank you, John. The Danish Kringle it just screams of the holidays. John, did I ask you about your pie? I might have asked you about your favorite pie.
Yes, I'm a big apple pie fan. And I mentioned last time, you did ask me. I also like blueberry pie.
You like
cherry pie.
Okay.
I like any kind of pie.
I think it's the Midwesterner in both of us that's coming out. Well, there's another thing we tend to agree on about pies. I've never been a big fan of pumpkin pies, though.
And, Jeff, I know you enjoy their, when you do breakfast up there, the hash browns.
Oh, they're delicious. And those blueberry muffins are really to die for.
The best blueberry muffins in town. Mona's Danish Bakery, put in your order for the holiday season. You can call ahead or just stop by monasdanishbakery.com. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and their e-commerce now at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, a family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants. That would be the two Vero Amori locations and Noble Hops. They're collecting food this month for the Community Food Bank. $5 off your meal when you bring in five cans for the food bank. They're also doing a great promotion, a gift card promotion. Buy $100 and get a $25 gift certificate. That's going on over at the two Vero Amori locations and, of course, Noble Hops up in Oro Valley. They're all part of our longtime relationship with Jam Culinary Concepts. We love Vero Amori and Noble Hops. We also love Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, which presents our Monday political face-off, Moe's, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out their revamped, really looks great, the new redesigned website, moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers is here and John Munger for our Monday political face-off. Jeff, it looked like, I guess the Washington Post polled all of the Republicans in the House and the Senate. 88% of the Republicans still have not acknowledged that Joe Biden is the president-elect.
Well, that's pretty embarrassing. I mean, we don't really, it's really unquestioned at this point in time. I think some of these lawyers deserve to be disciplined by their respective bars, and there are some bar complaints filed against some of the Trump lawyers right now because, many of these lawsuits have been absolutely frivolous and should not have been filed, and
I mean, you know, there are legitimate reasons to litigate an election and contest an election, and there are illegitimate ones. And, you know, we haven't seen much legitimacy in many of these attacks on our voting, and we haven't seen any real true evidence of fraud of any kind. So I think it's time to put this behind us and get rid of these conspiratorial motives that are still being foisted upon Americans by the Trump people and campaign, and move on and recognize where we're at.
John, are you ready to move on?
Well, I want to see the process play out. Trump had a major victory in Michigan over the weekend where a judge ruled that this Dominion software that's used in 26 states for elections can be investigated. And we're in the process now of, they're in the process of looking at this Dominion software and seeing if there are problems in it. We'll see how that turns out. I want to go back. Nobody seemed to have a problem with when Al Gore challenged in the courts the 2000 election. Why is it a big problem now that the Republicans are challenging in the courts? I don't see the difference, but yet it seems that every time the Republicans do something that the Democrats have already done, it's a terrible, terrible thing. Let's not have a double standard. We're in the courts. We're not rioting in the streets. We're where it ought to be, and let the process play out. And I think that's what should happen. There have been some findings of fraud. Some of the findings have been in particular jurisdictions that there was fraud. We know there was fraud. There's fraud in every election, but some of the findings have been there just wasn't enough proven to show to tip the election, but. Nevertheless, there were findings of fraud, people voting, dead people voting. We know that's true.
And that may go on in every election.
Well, it may go on. And the question is it enough in a particular jurisdiction to change the election? Well, right. Where the election is tight, it may. But there, this has yet to play out. Let's play by the same rules that Gore played by in 2000. If the process comes out that Trump loses, I will certainly say, fine, let's move on. But if it doesn't, then it should be straightened out. There was testimony up in Wisconsin or Michigan this latest weekend. They have 250 affidavits. They had people testifying that the same group of ballots were being put that were all Biden ballots being put through the machine. This is individual testimony by people who were in the elections board processing this. One lady said, I saw this happening. I couldn't stop it, but they were putting the same Biden ballots through the machines multiple times. There's plenty of evidence.
Yeah. Well, we are reaching a point, though, Jeff, here this week, I believe, right? The electors for the Electoral College. I think tomorrow is the day that...
This has been over since the election day, and it's getting to be kind of laughable what the Democrats
always say, anytime anything they do is under attack. They always say their typical response is, "Oh, there's no there. Let's move on." That's a classic Democrat response to anything they don't like. There's no there. Let's move on. Let's let the system play out. Let's let the courts determine what's right and what's wrong. There's plenty of evidence. People have testified. I saw them on TV. It just on one show, I saw three people testify about dead people voting.
Let's go to the live line. John has a question that's related to our topic today. Go ahead, John.
Yes, thank you. I actually listened to all 11 hours of the meeting that happened up in Phoenix on Monday, and I'm fairly left of center in my politics. What I noticed that was interesting is how much overlap there was between the people on the left that have election integrity concerns and then the people on the right at this meeting who expressed nearly exactly the same concerns, obviously, over in regards to different elections. But once we get past this presidential election, do you think there's any hope for a coalition between those two sides to actually put together some election integrity legislation?
Well, John, I was on the Election Integrity Commission for about 6 years here in Pima County, and have a great, and even before that, I was working on election integrity issues for about 5 to 10 years before that. And I will tell you that I think Arizona has one of the finest systems for counting votes that exists in the entire nation. And we have observers at every angle, and the Republicans and the Democrats, you know, get together, and it's the one thing that I remember Benny White was the representative for the Republican Party for many, many years, and we worked together, and Benny and I don't agree on much, but I think we both agree that the way the system works here in Arizona is about as close to perfect as it can be.
Well,
and there are other states that do concern me that have problems, but we do a hand count audit of 2% of the votes after every election, and we sit down, and I've sat there and counted ballots across the table from Benny White and other Republicans, and year after year after year, it always comes out perfect.
I have not heard any big problems with Pima County, but that's what Jeff is talking about.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on in Maricopa County. I've heard all of these reports of what's going on in these critical large counties, large urban counties where Detroit and Atlanta and Philadelphia are. To answer your question, John, I think that the whole country ought to be interested in making sure that the system is, that it works and that it's fair. I'm willing to accept, if I lose an election, fine, you know, lose an election. But I want the election to be fair. And I gather, John, that's what you want. I think there will be a movement across, I hope, rather than think, I hope there will be a movement, a bipartisan movement, to make sure that there's election integrity in all of these states. And I think that the Republican Party certainly will be watching very carefully in the next several elections. For example, they're watching very carefully in the Senate election in Georgia right now. And I think there's a deterrent effect by having people in watching the election just to make sure that there's no fraud. And as I've said, if there's no fraud, take it as it is, win or lose. I think that, yes, there's going to be more poll watchers from now on. I think that's good. I think that it's going to be more open to criticism. People are aware of the problem. I think that's good. If our election system doesn't work, then we got a problem. Joseph Stalin once said, the people that count aren't the voters. It's the people that count the votes. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's a truism. So let's make sure that the people that count the votes are doing it correctly. And if we can get a bipartisan movement going, I think it'd be wonderful.
Yeah, and I think Arizona is a state that other states should emulate. I don't agree with Doug Ducey too often on things, but he came out and rather staunchly defended Arizona's elections and said, we've been doing this for a long time and we know how to do it right, and we did it right this time. And I agree with him. It we've got a pretty good system here in Arizona, something that could be, I think, something that ought to be emulated elsewhere in America.
But we know, for example, I mean, it's common knowledge that Richard Nixon won the election against John Kennedy.
Nixon
in 1960.
60.
Richard Daley came
now you're
in.
You're getting close to my hometown.
Well, I know
Chicago and Cook County. We were a little late with the vote finally coming in.
It was acknowledged that Joseph or that Richard Daley had packed the ballot boxes, and that it happens. And of course, where you have large urban areas, it's easy to happen. So let's just be more careful. I know the Republicans are going to be watching carefully, and I hope the Democrats do too.
Yeah, and we have a long history of doing that here in Arizona, and you know, it's a pretty good process. We each county chair can appoint as many observers as they want for polling places. Right now, the best place to have observers is at the elections where they're doing the actual counting, because now we've reached a point where 80 to 90% of the votes are all by mail in Arizona, so that's where the actual counting is going on, and that's where the observers probably need to be more than often.
What people don't understand
real
is
quickly, please,
how
John.
Okay, how this ballot process works. The key to this whole thing is the envelopes that your ballot is put into, where your signatures are there, and that has to be watched carefully.
All right, John Munger, Jeff Rogers, thank you both very much. We'll see you right
You're
before
welcome.
Christmas.
Yes.
So there you go. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is our title sponsor for our Monday political face-off. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com. Check out the newly redesigned website, looking really good there. There's some great ideas there if you'd like to do some e-commerce for the holidays. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with General Wickham.
CBS News Brief. As the U.S. inches closer and closer to 300,000 coronavirus deaths, Dr. Anthony Fauci is warning of a dark winter if people do not heed warnings from the federal health officials.
And we don't mitigate well. We don't listen to the public health measures that we need to follow, that we could start to see things really get bad in the middle of January.
CBS's David Begno says the virus has led to big changes in California.
Starting today, salons are closed. Retailers are under strict capacity limits, and all dining, indoor and out, is suspended through Christmas.
For a third time now, Georgia has recertified its results in the presidential election, confirming Joe Biden won the state. Still, President Trump says the entire election process was fake and fraudulent.
You look at the different states, the election was totally rigged. It's a disgrace to our country. It's like a third world country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cunada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. You know, so many people are alone this holiday season. It's especially compounded by COVID-19. Remember a neighbor or someone on your block who's alone with a poinsettia from Green Things. They grew 25,000 this year. Understand there are at least a half dozen different colors. Why not stop by, pick up one over at 3384 East River Road, pick up a couple actually, over there by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and then take them to a neighbor or a friend to cheer up their holiday season. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, and ZocaloVillage.com. Let's go now to Oro Valley and the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, retired four-star general John Wickham Jr., who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. General Wickham was Commander-in-Chief of the UN Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's author of Korea on the Brink, chronicling the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill, particularly on your wonderful program, which does such a service for residents of this area.
General Wickham, thank you so much. As we were all sitting down to our Thanksgiving meal in this country over in North Korea, it's a national holiday. It was a national holiday because it was 3 years ago that the Mars 15, that's the missile that showed that North Korea is capable of striking any part of the continental United States between L.A. to New York with a thermonuclear weapon. It was 3 years ago this Thanksgiving that they made that launch. An article in the Wall Street Journal, I'm telling you, after reading that article, I'm concerned about North Korea and whether or not it can control its nuclear program.
That's a good point. Excellent point, Bill, because interesting that over the years, other nations that have had weapons, nuclear weapons, and there are nine of them now, have come to the United States for help on that very issue. How do we be sure that our weapons are secure? And we have shared some of our technology and some of our equipment to do that, to be sure that other nations like Pakistan and India and even the United Kingdom don't have a weapon get lost or captured by a terrorist and be used against the humanity. So it's a very good point. And so the North Koreans may very well in time ask for our help with technology or other equipment to protect their own weapons. And we would have to do that, I would think, as part of any kind of an agreement to control proliferation of weapons. That's a real issue. the proliferation of weapons, the South Korean legislature and the Japanese legislature are now beginning to talk about the need for them to get weapons. And they both had the capability with waste material from their nuclear reactors. So they have capability. It's right at hand to build a weapon that can be lethal. So we need to be much aggressive in terms of our negotiations.
Apparently, the weak link in the North Korean nuclear program in their command and communication system, that the software is just not up to snuff. My goodness, the last thing this world needs, General Wickham, is an accident of some sort with a nuclear bomb going off in South Korea. Or what about Japan? I mean, it could be a total disaster.
That's exactly right. And it's not only the weapon, expose the power of the weapon, but it's the fallout of the radioactive material. I just finished listening to a book by a famous negotiator and researcher on weapons. And the weapons are available, the technology is available. And so we've got to be very aggressive about how we control nuclear proliferation. That's why I think it was a big mistake when the current administration tore up the Iran nuclear deal. It wasn't a perfect deal, but it was a deal that prevented Iran from pursuing nuclear acquisition over the next 15 years. And we should have allowed that to continue. The problem of tearing it up now, it means in the Middle East that any nation in the Middle East that wants to get the weapon, go ahead and get them. If the United States is not going to be a problem in doing that. So I think we made a big mistake there. And the new administration, if it gets elected, probably should resurrect the Iran nuclear deal and get it legislated.
General Wickham, do you think those war injuries in Vietnam, where you were given the last right, do you think that's responsible for you losing now at a later time in life, losing your eyesight? You mentioned that you just heard a book. I know that that's been so critical to you listening to these books on tape.
Well, Bill, it's a wonderful question, and I think it was a revelation. The loss of my eyesight has really occurred in the last 5 or 6, 7 months. Some of it is from glaucoma, which is something we, as a native land with children, need to be very sensitive to. You can lose your eyesight from pressure on the nerve. But the other factor was that if you lose a lot of blood from an automobile accident or war wounds, the optic nerve is starved and damaged. And so that's what happened to me. I lost a lot of blood in Vietnam from my wounds, and that's caused, in large part, the loss of my eyesight. It was just a tragedy, and you don't realize the importance of eyesight to your stability in walking, to your acquisition of knowledge, and to your enjoyment of the kingdom of God around us with eyesight. So, yes, it's been a real sad thing for me to live with. But what's interesting is, for example, in the Talking Books program that I get, I called there recently and talked to a young man on the phone, and he had been blind from birth, and he's now has a graduate degree in college. He's got a family of children, so you can live and be successful without eyesight. So it's an illustration that, yeah, the good Lord is with us all every step of the way, and will help us with our difficulties in life.
Well, you have a great attitude, and it's always uplifting to talk to you as you push forward. You're one to always eat. The dawn brings a new day, and you're always ready for it, General Wickham. I'll tell you, you have been a real inspiration in my life. Thank you very much.
Well, Bill, you're an inspiration on your program. I really enjoy it. And the work that you do is, and your vendors that support you are so valuable given the world we live in today. And so we're getting a lot of distorted media things, but your program is objective and straightforward and current issues that are important. So I commend you, Bill, for your patriotism and commitment, and for the vendors that support your program. They are invaluable.
Thank you very much, General Wickham. My very best to your lovely wife, Anne. I hope you both have a wonderful Christmas holiday season and your entire family. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill, and God bless you.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham, always a delight to talk to that man. He may be blind, but he is pushing on, and I love his attitude. One step forward. There you go. Keith Rosenblum is in the wings. He'll have our Mexico report. Has the president of Mexico acknowledged that Joseph Biden will be the next president of the United States? That'd be my first question for Keith right after this. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Folks, better days are coming in 2021. And one place to go when we're finally able to kind of get around again will be Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and I think you'll be very surprised with the incredible amount of activity over in that area. Most of it is outdoor activity, but there's a lot going on in Silver City as well. great restaurants, and great places to stay. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Our Mexico Report with Keith Rosenblum is up next. Keith, longtime reporter and observer on the comings and goings of our border area. Keith, how are you?
Bill, good morning to you. I am observing, as I do so well, and just letting you know that I still suffer from an ongoing inferiority complex after I have to follow General Wickham. Maybe if you could put me first or just on a different day altogether, it wouldn't be like an ongoing reminder about how mediocre of a person I am.
No, you're right up there at the top of our list. You're our contributor on Mexico. How's it going? Has the president of Mexico, now a month after Joseph Biden has been elected president, has he acknowledged, or has there been any movement with the ambassador of Mexico in Washington reaching out or anything like that?
No, and I'm not sure that I love to blame Lopez Obrador for anything I can. But in this instance, the answer to your question is no. He has not recognized a Biden victory. And I have to say that in this one niche, I actually agree with the guy. If we can't decide on it, I'm not sure foreign leaders can either. And so I'm not sure. You know, a cynical person would say that Lopez Obrador is trying to walk both sides. So it's true that he had a natural sympathy or disposition to support Trump, and the two have lots of things in common. But I'm not going to be as small-minded as to make linkage and say that he wants Trump in and that's why he's not doing it. I think actually he's following respectable protocols of when to recognize another government, and hate to say it, but we haven't either. We've spoken, but there has not been enough that if I was a foreign leader, I would say, you know, I mean, these guys are not students of American civics. And I think their caution is entirely appropriate. So I don't like the man who thinks Lopez Obrador leaves to be desired, but I can't say that I blame him on this one.
Keith, I want to ask you about the border wall and the construction. The New York Times over the weekend was articulating that the fact that even though Biden doesn't like the wall, it may be to the point, Keith Rosenblum, as far as contracts that are and progress that's being made, a lot of the areas almost completed, they may actually continue with it even after Biden becomes president. What's your take on that?
Well, I hadn't heard that, and I thought Biden was on record as saying no to another foot of border wall. If I'm wrong on that, then it speaks poorly of the Biden administration. It's a waste of resources, and it's a waste of time. I can't think of a bigger waste than the wall itself. The reason is not that I believe in open borders. It's that I believe in that I understand technology of ultralights can propel me over that wall. I understand technology of tunnels. I understand technology of submarines. And I understand that one day, given the course of history, one day that wall might keep us from going into Mexico. I think it makes any sense for any number of financial and strategic reasons. I don't think that it's it's necessary. I don't think that actually will serve its original goal anyway. It's really a symbolic thing, and it's a waste. It probably does more damage to the collateral damage is far greater than any good that could come from it. It's a symbolic project, and I'm ashamed that any of my taxpayer money goes for it. There's lots of things that can be done with other technologies, including the same thing. When you now try to steal something from a Walmart, what happens, Bill? You've been down this path many times, right?
Sure, you're right.
lots of sirens, lots of little, because you had a little tag on you that activated the remote. The same thing when you go to a 7-Eleven or Circle K, you take something that hasn't been deactivated, and guess what goes off? So somehow the notion that we're going to be able to control this, you know, the wall of China being the same thing, it makes no sense to me, and yeah, I hope that we don't continue.
The confusion, I think, about Biden's administration has been on record saying no new construction of the border wall. And I think some of this article was pointing out in the New York Times that there may be They may have to actually finish what they're, because it's like some of these areas are like 90% almost complete. You know, they have these contracts.
Yeah, that, I read the same thing, and I understand that. I understand that they're in these wilderness areas right. where it's really hard to pull out, and so
right.
that they extended these contracts on an emergency basis as long as they could, which is a rush, you know, and that is something that later on Trump can tell the American people if we're still as gullible 4 years from now, and he's running or his surrogates are, he can tell people, look what I did down to the last minute, and I built 400 and some odd miles of border wall, and look, and that'll be something upon which you can build or brag. But we're still going to have a 2,000 mile border. At the max, I think it's 500 miles that actually has wall. And
right.
don't worry, there's ways of burrowing under that too.
Keith, let me quickly talk about Christmas and border trade. Let's face it, the merchants here in Tucson really hurting. They probably won't be seeing a lot of that traditional Mexican business this year.
They won't be seeing it no matter what until the 21st of December, because that's when our like sixth new date goes into effect. Every time we're on the verge of allowing people to come into the country, we extend the date a little bit more. It doesn't work going north to south. I'm going today, and I'll be going into Mexico and coming out of Mexico, and won't think twice about it. But we don't allow Mexican nationals to come into the country unless they fly. But, you know, the number of people who fly is so minimal. It's not 1% of the total number. So it's a blip of a difference when it comes to the economy. I would have rather seen us the same way we don't, you know, do state-to-state auditing in the U.S. I would have liked to have seen that same thing. We've done more damage to the economy than we, and I'm not one of these people, you know, I wear a mask, I socially distance, I believe that in tracing, but I don't believe that the border policy of not allowing people to come in by ground has been beneficial. Maybe it saved a couple of cases, but I don't believe that the cost of it justifies the drastic measure that we took.
Mexican nationals then cannot cross into the United States unless they are on an airplane.
Essential business. They can come on a plane for any reason. So you can come as a tourist on a plane and be here. But the word that we use, the phrase we use, is essential business. Hmm. And there's just not that many Mexicans that come on essential business. The other thing is, you could declare you have essential business because you got to buy something for your machinery, you know, to take back to Obregon or something. But guess who decides whether you're on essential business?
Who?
There's some CBP agent who looks at his little book there. They can say, no, I don't consider that essential. The amount of discretionary power that we give those line agents is way excessive. And what we've done is we've built ourselves, and as it is, you don't know this because you don't have any cause to, and most of your listenership won't know it because it doesn't have any cause to deal with it. But I do, because I deal with this all the time. The amount of the nastiness and the discretionary power that we give individual CBP agents and Border Patrol agents, but that's not the conversation right now, is excessive. And the number of people that get there who are on legitimate reasons and have legitimate business to do and are told, sorry, you can't come in for X or Y reason is, it goes, give somebody a badge, don't have them audited. By the way, Bill, you know that for the most part, any police agency in the United States now is accustomed to being filmed or recorded. Guess who's not?
Who?
Well, CBP.
Wow, the border people.
There's no logging of anything that goes on
Wow.
when you come into the U.S. So guess what? Try later on to protest the way you were treated. Well, sorry, sir, we have no record of it.
There you go. All right, Keith, I'm going to have to run. Thank you very much for everything you do for our program. Always appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And very best to you and your family this holiday season. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, our contributor on Mexico. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer-producer, John Couch, my name is Bill Buckmaster. We've got Dave Ramsey coming up next, talking about your money. What could be more appropriate in this day and age of the holiday season? Have a great afternoon, everybody.